Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? It is another Wednesday. A lot of things to talk about. We're going to go back in time and talk about the epic BKFC that was in Tampa on Saturday. Good time. Good stuff.
What an event.
So we're going to talk about that. Let me run down today's schedule. I know you've seen it on social media, but let's put it out there just in case that one person hasn't seen it. We're going to head up to Minnesota. I really wanted to go to this card. You know, and people have asked me, and you ask me on a regular basis, how do you pick?
Sure.
You know, there's so many MMA shows. There's so many combat shows now that we're involved or, you know, have been involved with BKFC. Some other things that's about ready to go down the pike. How do you – and I always say that it's who's on the card, what the card is, but it's also where it is.
Sure.
And one of these days, I want to go walk around the Mall of America.
The largest mall in America? Is it still the largest? Does it still keep that title?
I wouldn't say in America. I don't know.
I thought they built like a mega mall in – like Boston or something that beat it.
I still want to go to it.
It's pretty amazing.
So we'll head up there via the phone, and we're going to talk to Roosevelt Roberts, Damian Maya, and Rocco Martin returns to the program. We're also going to have your new champ, Johnny Bedford, on.
The undefeated champ.
The undefeated champ. We're going to have Jason Knight on, who I confronted on Saturday night. I don't know.
You confronted Jason Knight?
I did.
You're a brave man. What are you doing?
I did.
Did you not see us fight against Artem at the last?
Of course I saw it.
At number five?
Of course I saw it.
Why would you confront that guy about anything?
Okay. Do you not listen to this show?
I do.
Okay. So do you know what I confronted him about? You do.
The flag.
The flag.
The way he unhandled it.
We talked about it. We talked about
the way he mishandled it. How did he take your criticism? Or your?
Do you want me to say it now, or do you want to wait until he comes on?
Oh, we got to wait for him. Yeah, let's hear it. Straight from the man himself.
So we're going to have him on. We're also going to go out to Las Vegas, where I will be broadcasting next week from UFC Media Room with, not even, can I announce it? I better not. I'm going to wait till Friday.
Go ahead.
No?
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty big.
Big time.
It's pretty cool.
You got some big news coming up.
I am happy about both fighters that will be on. We're also going to have the bobblehead guy back on next week.
Dave.
He's going to have some signings with Cowboy and Joanna and Bruce. So we're going to talk with Dave next Wednesday.
Awesome.
But Jason Knight, Damian Maya, Johnny Bedford, Rocco Martin, Roosevelt Roberts, your boys from the Jits Kings are going to be here for that event next week.
They are.
Which I'm sure they have no idea what they're in for, including you.
Poor guys.
And then my good buddy and our Las Vegas boxing correspondent, Little Jimmy from
Little
Tenors
Jimmy,
of Rock.
Who's not little.
He is not little.
It's misleading in the title.
He will be on to talk about, he went and covered the Fury fight for us.
Sure.
And we're going to talk to him a little bit. All right, a couple pet peeves.
He didn't cover it long. It was only two rounds.
That's true. Give me your thoughts. And you know, we've had a long discussion, you know, today about a whole bunch of things. And,
sure.
And I tend to overreact on a lot of things. You tell me if I'm overreacting.
Okay.
I pulled into a gas station on the way here.
Okay.
I'm on empty.
Okay.
All right. I'm on so empty that my wife took my car and I took hers to take my mom home yesterday from dinner.
That's empty.
That's empty. So I pull into a gas station.
Okay.
And there is a guy, and I don't want to exaggerate. How far am I sitting from that yellow wall right now?
22 feet.
All right. So there's a car 16 feet
okay.
from the gas pumps smoking.
Okay.
Now, am I overreacting that I hauled ass and then called and said, you're a moron?
No, I mean, obviously it's common sense not to have open lit flames around a flammable environment such as a gas pump or gas station.
How stupid can a person be?
Yeah, because there's gasoline on the floor and it drips. And
I think I've proven, and I'll prove it later on in the program when Jason Knight's on. I have a tendency, whether it's in my best or not, to bring things up. How stupid can you be? And I know that the place that I called is listening right now.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. You know, and she agreed. She agreed the guy was a moron.
Yeah, I mean.
I said, is the owner there? No, the owner's out of town. Can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm just curious. Are all his employees stupid or just this one?
That's, you know, I employ the workforce of the people just like Staff Zone, and sometimes you just deal with stupidity on all levels.
How about this? Does this bother you? If you're in the middle of a conversation, say you and I are talking, and somebody comes over and says, hey, do you see who's walking in the door? I'm like, I thought you and I were talking.
Right.
You know, or you and I are talking and somebody says, hey, listen, I need to call Bob Blazinski. Do you happen to have his number? I'm like, I thought you and I were talking.
Yeah.
Does that bother you, or again, is that just me being me?
Well, I think you're like, you know, the thing that we're all going through is we're all aging, right? And so as things evolve, you know, I think common decency, respect, personal space. I think a lot of people with the social media, like,
personal space. That's personal funny. Right? Oh, that's funny.
So it's you know, I think it's just a changing world and a lot of consideration and you know, people are less considerate. And I don't think they do it purposely. I just think that people don't know anymore.
Okay, here's another one. You go out to dinner with your family.
Yep.
Why is this always about me? You go out to dinner with your family.
Love dinner.
And you're sitting at a table, not a booth.
Yep.
Okay, a table. And the server comes over to you and says, hand this to your wife.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually it's like, sir, can I get an autograph, Mr. Naked Pizza Man? And then I politely do, and I take a photo, and then I leave. But, yeah, like, but, you know, yes, like servers.
I feel like I talk to the wall.
Yes. Yes. No, but I think, honestly, you know, I think, you know, the new generation, people coming up, they're just different, you know, and they don't think it's, like, inappropriate to ask someone at a table to pass something for them. Like
the dirty dishes?
People don't wait on people anymore. Like the service industry as a whole is not what it used to be.
But at the bottom of the receipt, it says what 20% tip would be.
That's just expected because they don't know what it took to earn it in the past. Like, you know, the hospitality world used to get the gratuity for doing a job well done. But, you know, going back to your gas pump thing, if we lived in Jersey, you wouldn't even be able to get out of the car. You know, the attendant would literally pump your gas for you.
So then you'd be smoking while he's pumping.
You're smoking,
right?
But at least you're inside your car, you know. But
so we can't tell you no because you're in your
car. So sometimes you have to eliminate the stupid people for them by creating policies to keep people in the car, and nobody's outside except the guy pumping gas.
But this guy was inside the car. He wasn't outside. He was in the car, 16 feet from the pump, as I pulled up to pump gas. So he's in the car smoking.
Yeah.
And only because I want to bring this up and I want to get it off my chest, this as well. I have zero issues if you do not have a military discount.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
You know, people that have been out with me, I always ask, do you have a military discount? It's great if you have it.
It's a business right. They can honor it or not.
They're not doing it.
Respect it or not.
I am not upset either way, and I've had quite a few issues. There was one place that said, I'm sorry if you're upset that we don't have a military discount. I said, I'm not upset.
Sure.
If you don't have one, you don't have one. I'm going to go where they do have one. If the price is the same for your pizza and another place gives a 25% discount for military, wouldn't I go there?
Absolutely.
So a major big box store based in the Southeast. No, they may not be.
Has a fast car?
Yeah, but I don't know where they're based, as a matter of fact.
Have a guy named JJ working for
them? No.
The other one.
Yes, 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 that is where he is. They changed their military discount policy.
Really?
They make such a big deal that they have it.
They built their foundation on that.
Yeah, it's not the case anymore.
Well, speaking of the military discounts.
Let me just tell you what it is, and then you come back. You still can have a military discount, which, again, is great, beyond awesome. That's fantastic. Not upset if you don't have it, but it's only on full-priced items from now on.
Huh.
So if anything is on sale.
Don't get it.
If anything is on sale for more than like $8 or something, you don't get it.
No, that's a classic case of, like, you know, don't forget me when you make it, right? It's like, you forget the little people that help build you up. But, you know, speaking of the military discount, I had an opportunity through you from Super Bowl, what was it, 53? Was that the number? But due to our Israel Del Toro, the American soldier, wounded warrior, Air Force major who came in here with his wounded warrior team, I had a chance to cook for them.
Did you ask him about people that kneel during the national anthems and throwing flags?
I'd be curious
what a man who was burned on 95% of his body and had to dive into like a little creek to turn himself out
I'll tell you what. For me, I donated the entire party for all 30 of them.
Yeah, but you got a coin, so it was
no.
Worth,
but I did it with no expectation. I didn't want anything for. I didn't want to thank you. I just wanted to do it to say thank you for allowing me to operate a business in a free land because of the sacrifices that you've made. I did that. Then they turned around and awarded me a handmade wooden flag from the Tampa Warrior Games 2019, made by a vet. And then Israel gave me one of his military coins with the Purple Heart. And then his co, you know, sponsor Steve gave me his military coin. So I was just, I talk about getting choked up, man. It was the most impactful day of my entire life. And definitely well, of my pizza career.
But this day's not over yet.
Oh, man. It could get better.
No, I'm just saying this could be impactful, too.
It's true.
Good or bad.
This is. But that was an amazing day, sure. And I got a chance to thank the American vets who make it possible for the freedom that we enjoy. And I think it's a shame that companies, you know, don't give discounts or change policy.
But they don't have to.
Yeah, but it's a shame that they don't.
No.
Or they don't see the value.
But again, for those people that I was going to say think, that those people that know that I'm the jerk that I am, which I get, I don't expect anybody to have a military discount. I truly don't.
Right, sure.
You know, I have no problem. The one situation that I think you and I talked about weeks past, this Putz said all prices are the same. We don't give a military discount, and all prices at all of this type of store throughout Tampa Bay have the same price. So if that big box store, who now doesn't but did, well, I think on the item I purchased still would because it was full price. It wasn't on sale. So all I said to him is, I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. But if all the prices are the same, why wouldn't I go?
And spend your money with someone who gives back or appreciates what you've done as a veteran yourself.
And I'm not even thinking of that way. I'm just thinking, why wouldn't I go somewhere that I'm going to save money?
Right.
10% sure. Out on $100, I save $10, which can buy 8 slices of pizza.
Absolutely.
7 slices of pizza. So, and then there's 2 places. Matter of fact, there was a place in St. Pete that also, because I was telling him the story, and he didn't come forward. Here's the funny thing. He didn't come forward and say, well, we have a military discount. Nothing.
Nothing.
But I purchased a couple items, and I said, well, I guess I got to ask, do you have a military discount? He goes, yeah. Wouldn't you have thought he would have said that?
like I said, man, the sales force, the hospitality sectors are so different than the past. You know, that's a perfect opportunity for you to, like, you're get hearing someone's story. Yeah. Like, hey, we have it. We honor your business. We want you as a customer.
All right, give me your thoughts. You were in the audience. You were running all over the Florida State Fairgrounds on Saturday night.
I was.
Give me your thoughts from your vantage point of what you witnessed, we witnessed. I would have thought, you know, I saw a post from David Feltman. Somebody asked him how many people were there. I would have just thought it felt like 15,000. I felt like there was more people there than a Rays game, and we're going to get to the Rays shortly.
Sure.
But I believe it was like 5,500 people were there.
Yeah.
Great crowd.
A well-behaved crowd. And I know going into it because of the history in Tampa.
I was concerned.
There were some, you know, some brawls in the stands, and it was unruly. And, you know, I was concerned. You know, you don't really know going into it what to expect, you know. And but I think from my vantage point, you know, you got to realize – My first experience at a live show like that was with you at UFC probably 220. So, you know, there was already a couple hundred UFC productions under their belt. So I've seen the best of the best. I mean, like the efficiency and the everything. So obviously being number 6, you could still see the growing pains. You could still see, you know, some. But considering they're bringing in all these experienced guys, faces you know, names you know, and people to help organize it, I think they did phenomenal for being 6 shows in.
I would say, and hopefully David Feltman won't get upset at this, and he'll agree with this. You know, and he even said, you know, no disrespect to Mississippi or Wyoming, but Florida's like the real time, the big time. And this looked like the first big show
it did.
Of BKFC. You know, the other ones, the first one in Wyoming was in just this little hall. You know, I don't know how many people were there, 1,500, 2,000? I don't know. This seemed, and it may not have been. It could have been the same amount of people. But it certainly felt like it was a totally different atmosphere. The crowd felt different. Some of the fights were different. The celebrities were different.
Sure.
You know, Jinder Mahal was there, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and now WWE, as is Jinder Mahal. The superstar, Sabu Piscitelli.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't get jacked up, and it was another conversation that you and I had, and very rarely do I like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, I've been around all these people. And Sean said, you know who you just walked by, right? I'm like, no. Sabby's here.
You ran. You hurdled people.
Well, it was in between fights, but I just wanted to go over and say hi.
Sure.
You know, a former Buccaneer. We sat down. We had dinner.
Did you guys have a show together?
Yeah, we did do a lot of stuff. But we'll get back to what happened on Saturday in a minute. Right now, we're going to head up to the north. Any place is cooler than where we are now in Florida. Let's head up to Minnesota as we get ready for UFC on ESPN. And our first guest of today's show, Roosevelt Roberts. Roosevelt, how are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. First and foremost, give me your thoughts on fighting on the Four Letter Network. Whether, you know, people flip on that station or not, most of us, I know I do, every TV when I turn on, it automatically goes on at number 27, which is ESPN. What's your thoughts fighting back on ESPN?
Man, it's a great opportunity, man. You know, I always was watching ESPN when I was younger, growing up with my dad, like, or just being at the house. So, you know, to be on it now and be talked about on there, to be have my fight preview on there, is like, it's amazing.
It's just another step of how far our sport, you're on one side of it, I'm on the other, but how far our sport that we all love is coming. I still think there's room to grow, but now being on ESPN, having the ESPN host talk about it, seeing your name on that little scroll at the bottom has got to be just eye-opening.
Yeah, definitely, man. Life-changing, man. It's a blessing. Blessing, for sure.
Pretty quick turnaround. What's it been, like 6.5 weeks since your last fight?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you know, after the last fight, I didn't really have too many bruises, like nothing really about injuries. So, you know, I wanted to get right back into it. There's no reason for me to sit around and wait. You know, this is my job. This is the only way I get paid. So, you know, while I'm sitting out, my money going down. So, you know, got to keep the money coming in.
Which would it be? Would it be an advantage? May not be the right word, but an advantage because you just got out of camp. You just got out of, you know, the fight. You don't have time to put the extra 2, 4, 27 pounds on. Or is it a disadvantage because you just went through camp? You haven't had time, you know, a week or two to enjoy something before it's back in the grind to get ready for your next fight.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I got up the next day. I was back up to my original weight. Like after the fight, I was in there eating. And I was like stuffed in my face, Korean barbecue all day. You know, I'm just saying, all you can eat. So I definitely got back up there, but I just feel like it's I feel like it's like there's pros and cons to it. You know what I'm trying to say? It definitely keeps me in shape because, you know, I just got out of camp. And, you know, but the cons to it is, you know, I had to work with training with, like, certain injuries. You know what I'm trying to say? That I had for my last fight. But, you know, I'm still ready. You know, I'm still able to go out there and do my thing. So, yeah, this is what works.
When you are in camp, when you are, you know, hoping in the horizon of a fight coming up, and what is those couple things that you don't go out and enjoy, you don't go out and eat, you know, that you have to stay away from that you know, you wish you didn't have to?
Man, just food in general, man. Like, I just love to eat, you know. It's just any type of food. So it's just like my biggest problem that I don't like is when I'm coming with just going out there and like I can't go out there and eat no wings or no pizza or Korean barbecue or burgers, you know. Like that's just really it. Like I just love eating. So when I'm in camp and I can't eat, you know, it's very like depressing.
Are you a dessert guy at all? And I'm asking for a reason.
Kind of. No, I like pies and stuff like that, but not really like just like pies and like ice cream stuff like that, but not really like candy or anything like that. But I definitely like pies though. Pie is my favorite.
All right, as I was doing my 32 seconds of research, I don't do a whole lot because I want it to just be a conversation between the guest and myself. And I saw when your last fight was. I decided right then and there. And I'd like to thank guests, and we're still going to talk for another couple minutes, but I'd like to thank my guests for coming on the show. So one of the things that I want to send to you is going to be a box of Wicked Good Cupcakes.
Oh, cupcakes? Oh, yeah, for sure. We could definitely do that for sure.
These aren't just cupcakes. These are awesome, Wicked Good. They were on, I don't know if you watch Shark Tank. They were on the Shark Tank. They got an investment. They are kick butt cupcakes. We'll get your address. We'll get all that at the end of the show. But we will definitely hook you up with that. Has anything surprised you since, you know, joining the UFC?
Nothing really surprised me. I think everything is just coming day by day, you know. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have this opportunity to fight in the UFC. And I just think, like, I think when I was on the outside of the UFC, there was a lot of people, saying, like, they need to get paid more. And, like, just stuff like that. Just, like, kind of talking down on it. But when you're in the UFC, you can see how, like, they really take care of the fighters, you know. They really take care of you, really show you love. They really, like, be there for you. So, yeah, I think everything came to my liking, you know, and it's a blessing to be here.
I would put that in the keyboard warrior category, you know, people that don't know and have no clue and like to complain and bitch about stuff and, you know, just kind of wish that they were in that situation. You know what I mean? What's the funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight? You know, have you drifted? Have you thought about something else? And the reason I ask this is I asked a fighter once, and I always, you know, explain it real quickly. I asked the fighter the same question, and he said, well, I was fighting Dennis Siever, who's German, and his corner is talking German, which would make sense. And he said, for like 8 seconds in the middle of a fist fight, I'm watching Inglourious Bastard movie in my mind. When it hit me, I need to get out of this movie. Has anything funny like that happened or strange in the middle of a fight to you?
No, I think the only thing that happened to me was, like, my last fight, while I was fighting, like, there'd be a couple of times where I'd just be like, damn, like, I'm really in the UFC now, like, there's a whole bunch of people watching, like, in my head, I'm just like, don't do bad, there's a whole bunch of people watching you right here in the arena, and there's a whole bunch of cameras on you watching, so, like, I was just like, yeah, just do the best you can while I was fighting, you know? I was just trying to tell myself, like, stay calm. Like, you got this, you know?
That's so awesome.
I
was saying, is it harder to block it out the more you're thinking about trying to block it out?
Yeah, I think so. The more I'm thinking about it, because it's like I'm having a conversation with myself in my head, you know? Like I'm asking myself something, I'm talking back, and I'm answering my questions, too. So I'm asking and answering, and it's just all like I'm having a full-blown conversation like we are now in my head, you know? So, yeah, it was definitely crazy.
Now, while that was going on, are you still throwing punches, or is this for, like, a couple seconds where you're not?
No, I'm still working. I'm still doing my thing, you know.
That's awesome.
It was actually when he caught me. He caught me with, like, a 1-2, and that's when I started talking. Like, okay, like, here we go. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, we in here now. Like, from there, I just was talking to myself the whole time.
That is awesome stuff. So what can we expect to see on Saturday night?
Just expect seeing the same thing that everybody sees already. Just go in there, put on a fight, you know, from first to last spell, make it happen, go out there and do, like, make it my fight, do everything I want to do. Watch me, I'm going to be fast, I'm going to be sharp, be on it, do everything I have to do to get the W.
A lot of times I'll ask a fighter, you know, what do you know about your opponent? And by the way that you just said that, I'm taking it doesn't even matter what the opponent's going to do. It's more what you're going to do and how you're going to do it to him, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really worry about the fighters too much. My coach Adam always tells me, you know, we take the fight wherever it goes. You know what I'm trying to say? So right. No matter what he throws, like, whatever he gives us, you know, we're going to get something back. We're going to, like, we're going to push forward. We're going to stay in his face. He's going to stay in our face, and it's going to be a fight. We're just going to make it happen. Do the best we can.
Awesome. Great stuff. It's Saturday night on ESPN. Roosevelt, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to get your address, not only for the box of Wicked Good Cupcakes, but we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, so they're going to get your shirt size and address, and we'll get all that stuff sent to you. Hopefully, it will be waiting for you when you get home.
Okay, for sure, man. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. That's Roosevelt Roberts. Gets back in the octagon on Saturday.
In Minnesota. There's no state sales tax there, is there?
I don't know.
I remember buying shoes at the Mall of America.
There's no sales. Wow.
I think Randy Moss and I were, like, shopping and we were hanging out.
At different times.
Foot Locker.
Yeah, but at different times. But
I bought a pair of shoes and there's no sales tax. I remember, like, I was like, whoa, I got to move to Minnesota.
Now, you sure it's not just that week that there's no sales tax when the kids are going back to school?
It could have been a back-to-school sale.
And you probably lied and said, no, I'm going to school.
I don't know.
I got to save the money.
Randy left me in a hurry. Just
most Randys do. Just saying. You can take that however you want.
I love it. Well, when you get pulled up to the big leagues, sometimes people can't go with you.
All right, time to hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the confrontation with Jason Knight at Bare Knuckle FC 6 regarding what happened at Bare Knuckle FC 5 in Biloxi. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there, listen, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hey.
All right, we're back coming to you live from Florida Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. And what are you building, a checkerboard?
Well, I mean, the Jits Kings tournament's coming up, and it's the ultimate, you know, chess match. There's a rolling and Brazilian Jitsu. It's like the ultimate. So I'm making, out of the stickers, a checkerboard.
Well, good for you. Have you seen on social media that people, because I'm not, you know, no sense saying names, are trying to overturn the Matt Hamill defeat for
not
John
just
Jones?
People, but the organization, not John Jones, but the UFC, Dana White. They want to have an unblemished record for their superstar. They want to, you know, have.
Do you think he needs that? Seriously, with everything that's happened to John Jones. You know, and we were on last week with Artem on Bubba's show, and
sure.
And they asked me who did I think was the baddest American, and blah, 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 blah. And I basically said John Jones.
You did say John Jones.
So, yeah.
And his answer was he cheated.
Well, yeah. Artem said some things. Well, the funny thing was that Bubba asked me who did I think was the baddest American, and Artem disagreed with me and said Fedor.
Yeah.
Now, I really like Artem. We hit it off,
you
and
did.
We're cool. But I wanted to say, hey, Artem, Fedor's not American.
True.
I don't know. Just a little loophole. All right. So Jason just called. He has a bad connection. You know, he's in the middle of nowhere,
Mississippi.
So we are going to try to get him on next week. But I'll tell you about the confrontation.
Okay.
So I'm sitting cage side.
Yep.
Jason walked by. I got up and I said
ringside.
Which is the same thing that Johnny Bedford corrected me at BKFC.
Right. It's hard to not say it.
And what's funny is, and we'll talk about it with Johnny when he was here. I mean, he was like, there is no cage side. I'm like, okay, dude.
It's like, give me a Coke. It's like, I don't really, or maybe I want a Pepsi, but it's just so, like, you just
Pepsi, okay?
It.
No, that's the thing. It was the Super Bowl commercial.
Oh,
Pepsi,
yeah.
Okay? So when I kind of brought it up and you were standing there to John, you know, I said, you know, we talked at the first one and he really didn't remember. And I said, yeah, I'm the guy that called a cage side. And you corrected me. He goes, I do remember that.
He does.
I do remember that. So Jason Knight walks by me.
Okay.
Another media guy was standing there. And I went up and I said, I need to talk to you for a second.
Okay.
I said, you may knock me out. You may kick my butt. But as a man, I need to say something to you. I said some things about you on the air. About your last fight. And I want to say it to your face. And I got maybe two words out. Honestly, it was like, about your last fight, and he said instantly, about the flag.
Wow.
And I said, yes.
Wow.
And he said, I'm sorry, I apologize, which my kids know I don't take apologies, but he said, I thought one of my guys was behind me. And so when I flipped it back, I thought he more threw it down, but, you know, again, in the heat of, but I respect him now
sure.
more because... I mean, he didn't get nasty. He didn't get confrontational, which he could have. I
sure.
was kind of me being me.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're absolutely right. I apologize. He goes, somebody. I go, yeah, that was probably me. He was like, somebody's been posted or had posted.
Right.
I go, it was probably me.
Right.
Well, and again, the difference between me and most is if I'm going to say it about you, I am going to say it to your face. And
sure.
if we're going to do it on social media, you know, the keyboard warrior crap, whatever, I'm going to tag you.
Sure.
And I'll eventually see you, or more importantly, you'll eventually see me. But it was awesome, and that's why I asked him to come on.
Sure.
Because I wanted the public to know that we had the discussion. He was awesome about it. He apologized.
Look, in life, things happen. It's how you handle it that sets you apart from everyone else. Same thing with customer service. It's like there's going to be mistakes made. How are you going to handle it? You're going to give a gift card. You're going to say you're sorry. You're going to make it up to them and show them that you care as a customer. Or you're just going to let it go because, you know, there's another fish that's going to come in after. So I think it's awesome the way he handled it. And I have no problem with you being his biggest fan.
BKFC 6 was Saturday in Tampa.
Huge.
I, as much as I was ringside, I didn't get to see a lot of the fights. I didn't get to pay attention to a lot of the fights because I was taking care of issues. I was,
sure.
you know, trying to fix things.
Well, you're the host. I mean, you had guests that were on your card. We had VIP tables. There was, you know, there was a number table 5 missing somewhere.
I found it.
You found number 5?
I found
Where
it.
Where was it?
I found it.
I couldn't find it. Everyone was looking for number 5.
No, I found it.
Was it backstage?
No, it wasn't, but I found it, and that's all we're going to say.
Okay.
That's... You know, and big ups to the 3 people that were sitting at our table.
Huge.
That
volunteered their seats.
I got to be honest. Now that I'm thinking about it, you were one of the three.
I was the third.
That basically wasn't even really volunteered, was thrown out of the table to accommodate other people, you know, because of some mistakes and stuff. So big ups to the other two and to you for at least not letting me know how upset you were by losing your seat.
I didn't lose my seat. I was still at the end cap. I was still the king. Well,
that's the rear end.
That's where the other side.
Yeah.
Oh. So I wasn't the king.
I just saw probably the stupidest headline I could possibly have seen, at least in the last couple minutes. So it ran across the scroll on one of the TV stations that's being played here at Florida Pizza. Duh. Eddie Murray. Kyle Murray expected to start week one for the Arizona Cardinals. Really? He's the number one draft pick. You traded your starting quarterback. What gave it away that he's going to be your starting quarterback week one?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of teams draft number one and develop them, give them time to acclimate.
Not when you're a quarterback. Not when you're the number one pick in the draft. You start right away. Here's another thing I need to ask.
Okay.
Should I be upset? Should I not be upset? Now, it's baseball related, so let's be honest, who really cares?
Okay.
So on last Friday, the Philadelphia Phillies had a retirement deal for Chase Utley.
Okay.
So Utley left the Phillies, went to the Dodgers. I still always not a big fan of coming back to where you played, but whatever. So I reached out because it was also my brother's birthday, and I thought it would be really cool to get a baseball or something. I'm going to purchase it. I'm not asking you to give it to me.
Okay.
And it would be really cool to purchase one of those things. And I said, hey, I'm just curious, is it possible, because you're selling them at the game? And they said, well, no, not really, but let me see what we can do. They were selling, and they all do this. I've seen the Rays. I haven't seen the Rays sell it, but I know they do it. So, like, strike two. Catcher catches it. They roll it to the ball boy. The ball boy then marks it. They write down on a piece of paper the number, and then they sell that ball for $50, $80,
$100. Really?
The Phillies, when they sent me the list, because I was trying to get something with the date of my brother's birthday, you know, this was the ground ball. This was the double play. This was good or bad? Yay or nay?
I mean, I don't know. It's a souvenir. I get it. There's money to be made, and you know, their business is just like every other business. So they got to be profitable, or you're gonna have to split your season and play half the year in Canada. So, I mean, I get it if you don't make any money. So I'm okay with it from the entrepreneurial side.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
I think it's a shame, but I'm okay with it too. How much money is too much money? But just like we were talking about the retirement of some athletes and whatever, who is it? If you want to buy it, buy it.
Yeah, if it means something to you, if you have a personal connection and there's a monetary value for that item, then yeah. Everybody has the right to spend the money on what they want.
All right. Everybody's up in arms in the Tampa Bay area about the press conference, about the rumor, about what the Rays would like to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
I must be, and this is so shocking to everyone, I must be the oddball.
Okay.
I love the idea.
I think it's awesome.
I love it.
I think it's great.
I think it's bad for everyone else. I think it's bad for the players, who I really don't care about.
Right.
You know, it's bad that they're going to have to get a home here and a home in Montreal, and, you know, they pay more taxes in Montreal, and it's going to be harder to get free agents.
They'll have universal health care. They'll have recreational marijuana. They'll have – that's a better world up there.
They won't have recreational.
The Great White North.
They won't have recreational.
Wow. But the country is – oh, there won't be citizens.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, but it's just like the UFC. You know, you're in California. You have the card. You can do your marijuana stuff, but then when you go to fight and you test positive, it'll be the same thing. But as just a person, not a fan, just a person, it makes sense. Take something that nobody gives a damn about, okay? Cut it in half. More people are going to want to go to the games because in two or three, four...
Less supply, more demand.
Exactly.
You sell out more tickets and less effort.
I am all for
that. I think it's a great move.
All right, so Jason Knight we're not going to get on because of they have no phones. It's like what Chael said about in Brazil. You know, with the
Mississippi is not a third world country.
I don't know.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. I haven't been there. But let's shift gears. Let's go to where I'm so looking forward to getting back out to Las Vegas next week.
Oh, that's exciting.
On the phone with us right now is our Las Vegas correspondent. He went and covered the Fury fight. He's the big boxing guy. He's been on the program numerous times. Little Jimmy, you've seen pictures, so
he's not so little.
He's not so little. Jim, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. So let's get right into it. You went, you covered the whole card. So talk about the card first, the atmosphere, the fights, and then we'll get to that, what was it, 4.5 second fight.
Well, to be honest with you, mate, it was a very very British affair, as you well imagine, because no one had ever really heard of Tom Schwartz. He was kind of ranked, depending on the governing body, he was ranked in and around the middle, kind of 10, 11, 12, that kind of thing. And, you know, reasonably dangerous kind of European fighter. But, of course, people were there to see Tyson Fury. It wasn't actually as busy as I think some of the people would like to let you believe. The whole top area, I mean, of course, Randy, you know the MGM Grand Arena. The whole top tier was completely and utterly empty. Oh. But I also think that a lot of that is, let's say, the general public over here not entirely knowing who Tyson Fury was. So the majority of the crowd, first of all, was very pro-British. And we're a very loud bunch, especially at sporting events. And Tyson has his own very unique fan base. So what was great about the card was there was lots and lots of young British fighters that came, and all did very, very well, and set the benchmark for the big fella to come in there and do a demolition job. But it was a very, very unique atmosphere that you don't normally get. It was I kind of liken it to when Ricky Hatton used to come over back in the day, and almost what Conor McGregor is doing now. Not on the same scale, but I think you could possibly get there. You know,
right. Let me ask you this. When you said where he was ranked and wherever that is, whether it's 10, whether it's 14, what is that saying? Is it saying the ranking system is bad? That is it saying that he isn't as good as a 14th ranked fighter? Because you know, the UFC kind of has the same thing. They rank guys here and then they go and get, you know, beat so quickly. So give me your thoughts on that ranking system and where Schwartz was.
I think, like I said, Tom Schwartz is a very, very solid. He was a bit disrespected, we felt. Myself and the other guys, we were speaking, you know, we felt that he got a little bit of disrespect. This is a guy that had fought at a very good level, albeit probably European level, but had fought. He was undefeated. He's a big boy. He's like 240 pounds, 243 pounds when he steps into the ring. He's 6'5". He can hit. He's durable. Like, you know, this is no pushover. And, of course, everybody's looking for the next Fury Wilder rematch. That's the money fight. That's the one that everybody wants to see. But, of course, the nature of the beast in boxing is networks take over, and you have Top Rank and ESPN, and you have Fox, and then you have Showtime, and the Zone now. It's very, very difficult to make a deal. So the thing is, with the ranking system, you know as well as I do, that sometimes the fights that should get made don't get made, right, until, let's say, all the parties align. But to be honest with you, like I said, it's Fury came back after a very long layoff, fought Deontay Wilder. I felt beat Deontay Wilder very, very comfortably. Didn't get the decision. It was a draw. And then there's a couple of almost warm-up fights. You know, that tends to happen in boxing. You know, they don't want to ruin the golden goose, which is exactly what happened to Anthony Joshua at Madison Square Garden.
Right,
you know, and Andy Ruiz was ranked out of the top 15 in two of the four major governing bodies. No one ever expected that little Mexican lad to go in there and do what he did, which was just sensational. So it doesn't always work out when you're 17, 18 stone and you get hit on the chin. I don't really care what the technique's like. It usually hurts.
Sure. No, for sure. So, you know, then take it the other way. If that's the case and Schwartz does deserve and is a very good fighter, are we not giving Fury enough credit on him being as good as he obviously is?
Yeah. I mean, I think to be honest, I would lead a little bit more like that. Tom Schwartz is obviously not in Fury's league. He's not in a world-class fighter, so let's be straight on that one. But he is no muck. You know, he is no muck. The Germans tend to knock out very, very strong, very durable, hard fighters. And we went to see him sparring, and he looked in good shape. But the thing is, Tyson Fury is so good. I have a story about Tyson Fury about many, many years ago. He fought a friend of mine in about his fifth fight. And he looks, you know, he looks so clumsy, and he looks so unusual. And you just don't think a fighter that moves the way he does is going to look like that. And he fought a friend of mine, and before the fight, he said to us, "I'm going to just knock this bum out." He says, I'm just going to do a number on this guy." He says, "Look at him, he's so clumsy." He says, "He got knocked out in 30 seconds by Tyson Fury." And he came back to me and said, "I've never been hit that hard and that quickly in my entire life." And that was his fifth fight. And the guy that I'm talking about was a former British champion, a good fighter. You have no idea how good he is until you actually see him live. His movement, I mean, he's like he literally is like, I don't think we've seen a heavyweight move like him since the days of Ali. And that's a very big compliment. But he moves, he can switch stances. He's super, super quick. And although he doesn't necessarily get the credit for his knockout record, he can hit. And at 265 pounds, when that hits you on the chin, you're going to go. I don't care who you are. So he's like, I would just implore everybody, just try and see him live and try and kind of just to take in how good technically he is, because he is just sensational to watch. He's unbelievable.
The problem with that, before I ask you, the BKFC question and what else is going on in boxing, the problem with that is I was supposed to go cover the Wilder fight in Brooklyn, and I'm glad I didn't, because, he'd be great to watch, but that's an awful lot of money that breaks down to, about $800 a second?
Yeah. I get it. The Wilder thing, especially, I mean, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about Wilder. I mean, he's technically not very sound. He has one weapon, which I think Tyson Fury kept away from until the 12th round of that of their fight in December. So I don't know. I mean, Dominic Brazil, yet again, the ranking system can be manipulated to tell you what it wants to tell you. You know, they'll tell you that Dominic Brazil is a top 10 fighter. I would tend to disagree with that. I've seen him fight a few times, and I don't necessarily think he's of that class. But of course, promotion being promotion, they want to build it up. He was a world title challenger, and Wilder did what Wilder does. You know, but Wilder's got one trick, and it's a very, very good trick. And I'm not knocking it at all. But I think in the rematch with Fury, I think Fury will take him apart a little bit more this time, and I think he'll show how good he is.
Well, hopefully that'll happen. Before I ask you your opinion on BKFC, what is next in the boxing world? What's the next big one that's going to happen?
Well, we've just found out today. I have some good friends within Tyson Fury's camp, and I've been told, this may be a scoop, Randy. This may be our first scoop together.
Okay.
But I've just been told this morning that Fury has signed to fight sometime possibly in October at the Madison Square Garden, which is a very smart move for him with the Irish side of his family and lineage and whatnot. So they're still looking for an opponent, but apparently that is a done deal. They're just searching for opponents with the idea that if he gets through that fight, he will fight Wilder in Vegas, possibly in February next year. That's the plan. And that could well be a scoop, but it also could be utter nonsense. So I'm getting that from one of the guys that works with Tyson. So there's that. And also, end of the month, we have... we've got Pacquiao Thurman for the welterweight title, which is, if you're a boxing fan, the welterweight division right now in boxing is pretty much the greatest division in boxing. Every single champion is a Hall of Famer waiting in the wings, and that's going to be incredible. Manny Pacquiao, at 40 years of age, fighting Keith Thurman is going to be one hell of a fight, and I don't quite know how Pacquiao keeps doing it, but he keeps doing it.
he definitely does keep doing it. And Keith Thurman is from right down the road up in Clearwater. We'll hopefully have him on either next week or the week after. All right, so I have to ask you, I know you're busy. I know you do a lot of things out there as well. Did you have the chance to watch any of BKFC6, and what were your thoughts?
I did. Do you know what? I think we had a conversation the week before, and I thought, Paulie Malignaggi, I've seen fight live, and was always very impressed with his skill set. I mean, he hasn't got the greatest bang on him, but skill set, obviously, a very, very experienced two-time champion, the whole thing. And I thought it was a real mismatch. But what I didn't know was I was very uneducated with bare knuckle. And one of the boys I worked with was explaining a few of the rules to me. And I said, I didn't understand that you could half plumb and you could pull the neck down. Right. That makes it a street fight. That's a complete, I would have said Malignaggi would walk that fight, no problems whatsoever. But then, of course, when you're talking about taking it... away from an established boxing match and making it a little bit more of a, almost like a grappling street match, street fight, sorry, and you put someone like Artem Lobov, who would literally fight, you know, a train, then the guy's a freak. You know, the guy would literally fight a brick wall and probably still win. So I thought it was, I'm not the hugest fan of it. I'm not entirely sure that there's anything greatly technical about it, but I tell you what, it's great fun. I say for the amount of time that it lasts, it's not for the squeamish, but I love what they're doing with the promotion. I love what they're doing. I love reading all the Twitter sites and all the ex-fighters, ex-boxers, ex-MMA guys are now coming out saying, I want to go. I want to jump into this. I want to have a pop of this. Because at the end of the day, it's a very, very entertaining thing. So I hope it does very well. I think it's been very well mastered and marketed. So, but yeah, I think it's a very unique thing. Oh, listen, can I ask you this? Actually, Randy, we were talking yesterday. How do you think about this Henry Cejudo offering Vasily Lomachenko a fight? There was a thing yesterday, or a thing the day before, where he said, I'm now the champ, whatever that means. And he's offered Lomachenko some form of a fight in an MMA environment, which I think is pretty bizarre. I think it's going to get very, very silly soon with this kind of cross-discipline matches, you know?
Well, from what I understand, and that's your boy, Matt, you know, champ, he wants to box. And if he's going to box, he could die in the second round.
You know, he wouldn't get out the first. Yeah.
No, well, I was being nice, just because I'll have to see him next week. I'll say he'll get into the second. But I've said this from day one, and you know that I'm a huge MMA. You know, I've been involved with the UFC since day one. If you even want to call Henry Cejudo great, a great MMA fighter will lose 99% of the time to a great boxer. And this isn't a great boxer. This could be the greatest boxer on planet Earth. So it makes no sense, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, but I think he's trying his best to, you know, lift his stock in the world. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of Henry Cejudo. I think he's phenomenal. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing you next week, my friend, out in Vegas.
And I'm going to let you go, but we're going to have you in person at the UFC Media Room next week, and we'll have more discussions, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week and seeing the guys as well.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Jimmy, take care. That is Little Jimmy. He is covering all of our boxing. He's starting his own boxing show out there when he has time, because he also is a performer.
He is a performer.
You know, we don't push that all the time because, you know, the whole object is that
he's
coming on.
Not just a performer, but the performer of Tenors of Rock.
I will see them next week for the fourth or fifth time, and it's just good stuff. All five of them are so talented. They're Broadway talented. It's unbelievable. So get on YouTube, check them out. They have a YouTube channel, Tenors of Rock. Fantastic guys, too. And they're better guys than performers, and they're A-plus performers. It's definitely good stuff.
It's awesome. Now, I think there's a lot of merit to what you guys are talking about. You know, kind of like Paulie, right? He's a true boxer. I would rather see the matchup like Leonard Garcia, like people caliber, boxer for boxer, MMA versus MMA. Because you said it going into this, it's not MMA versus boxing,
right? It's not. Right?
But the bare knuckle promotes it that way. Well, on all the social media, they promote it.
But you're going to promote it. You know, you're going to promote as the promoter. The promoter's job is to promote and to sell as many tickets pay-per-views as possible.
Sure.
Do you think David Feldman was happy about the spitting incident with Paulie?
Yes.
No, I don't think he was happy.
Well, you couldn't pay for that kind of exposure.
Exactly. He wasn't happy that it happened, but he's certainly going to use the promotion.
Right.
Just like the UFC used Conor throwing the dolly.
Of course.
Not happy.
And throwing the energy drink across the room.
Exactly.
And, right.
It helps to sell.
I get it. But wouldn't you like to see hand speed versus hand speed in a bare knuckle, like boxer-boxer? MMA.
Well, of course. But, like, but again, I don't want to, you know, make it so specific that it's an MMA fighter, that it's a boxer. I mean, that was the whole beauty of MMA, that it's everybody. It's a jiu-jitsu. It's a kickboxer. It's a karate. It's Putin coming over with his black belt. You know, it's all of that stuff. So that's why I was kind of offended when it's MMA. Just because Lobov comes from MMA, he's bare-knuckle fighting.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's closer to boxing than it is MMA.
But the whole thing that I've seen online, the criticism at least, is that Paulie did what boxers do.
Right.
They punch without getting hit. No, they punch and then move. punch and then move. So in bare knuckle, he got criticized for running.
I need to correct you.
Okay.
You said boxer and that Paulie hit and moved and didn't get hit. Look at his face.
Well, no, I know Paulie got hit.
He got hit.
But the whole point in boxing is stick and move, stick
right,
and move.
Right.
So, you know, they want like Jason Knight fights where it's just two guys slugging it out in the middle of the squared circle.
It's different.
So, you know, there's a different technical side of it. And I agree with Jimmy. There's not really much technical awareness to it, but it's definitely exciting to watch.
It definitely is exciting. BKFC 7 is coming up in August. I will be out there broadcasting. We'll have Jason Knight on. We'll have Leonard Garcia. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. The second hour is packed even more than the first. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Side. Watching every
move on her face. She said, look, what's your game? Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.